In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, it is obvious that this Sunday, Passion Sunday, is special. And when this morning you entered this church, you saw the veiled crucifixes and statues, and you understood that we are in a special time, Passion time. And the veils on the statues and images in church expresses vividly that we now enter in the time of the Passion of the Lord, a time of sadness and dereliction. This Sunday is called Passion Sunday because during the 2 weeks before Easter, the liturgy concentrates on the suffering and death of Jesus to atone for our sins. Here, passion means sufferings. When we speak about Jesus' passion, we talk about his sufferings. When Jesus suffers, he does it to redeem us, to enable us to recover the status of being the children of God. This sermon is the last one until Easter Sunday. You will be freed from that. Isn't it a good news? So I take advantage of it. And today, my sermon will be longer. Sorry for that. We will enter the Passion of Christ as a real drama on Palm Sunday, next Sunday. The palms will be blessed. And you will notice that they will not be blessed with a mere blessing, sprinkling a little bit of holy water and that's it, but they will be blessed with great solemnity. The blessing of the palms on Palm Sunday is almost a mass, including a preface, because the glorious entry of the Lord in Jerusalem is the preparation of his immolation. On Palm Sunday, the liturgy expresses both joy and sorrow. It's a contrast. Joy with the hosannas of acclamation when Jesus entered as a king in his royal city of Jerusalem. Sorrow by compassionating the suffering that the innocent Lamb of God is going to endure. The procession with the palms contains a sublime symbolism with the opening of the doors of the church on the front side, because the sins of our first parents, Adam and Eve, have shut the doors of heaven. And only Jesus, with his cross, is able to reopen the doors of heaven. The subdeacon will therefore knock, he will hit the doors with the cross of the procession, and he will commemorate, doing so, he will commemorate Jesus entering Jerusalem and also Jesus drawing us back to his heavenly Father. On Palm Sunday, dear faithful, you will listen to the narration of the Passion of the Lord, and you will hold your palms because the liturgy wants you to remember that behind his apparent weakness, Jesus is a king overcoming his enemies. The drama of the Passion will be sung without incense, as we have done a few minutes ago for the Gospel, without candlesticks, in order that we may understand that it is a mournful and tragic history leading our Lord to death. On Wednesday of the Holy Week, you have on the first page of the bulletin today the schedule for Holy Week. So on Wednesday, there is the Office of Tenebrae. The Office of Tenebrae is a profound and funeral office to give us an idea of how the church is sad. A big triangle candelabra with 15 candles will be at the center of the sanctuary of our church. And each candle will be extinguished to symbolize the darkness of the sky when the Lord was nailed to the cross and crucified. The Psalms, the antiphons, each word of the Office of Tenebrae, tenebrae means darkness, Office of Darkness, reveal the sadness of the soul of the Lord, but a sadness that is mixed with an ardent love for us. At the very end of the Office of Tenebrae, you will hear a loud turmoil. And this turmoil in the church is usually a place of silence and adoration. This big, loud turmoil has a deep symbolism. Judas cackling to betray the Lord. The very strong and impressive Roman cohort arresting the Lord. The fear of the apostles and their desertion. They run. And also the earthquake when Jesus died on his cross. Holy Thursday commemorates two sacraments, the Holy Eucharist and the Holy Orders, the priesthood. It is why the beginning of the Mass on Holy Thursday is very festive, joyful, white vestment, organ and music. But this joy will be suddenly and sadly eclipsed by Judas' betrayal. Even the bells will remain silent to show us that the world loses its melody and tell us that every heart has to enter a holy mournfulness. After Mass, a unique, only one, and consecrated host will be transferred from the main altar, in a big procession, to the altar of the repose here. This altar, on your left side, will be decorated with many flowers and candles to symbolize the Garden of Gethsemane. Only one host will be transferred here because the Lord Jesus is lonely in his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. In every part of the Catholic world, a concert of loving prayer and adoration will be offered to Jesus in reparation of the outrages and insults he underwent. The people have the nice custom, the nice tradition to stay at the altar of the repose with Jesus because they don't want the Lord to tell them again what he said to his apostles who fell asleep. You are not able to wake even 1 hour with me? After the transfer of the host, consecrated host, to the altar of the repose, you will attend the stripping of the altars, signifying the suppression of the holy sacrifice. The altars are stripped from all clothes, all ornaments, because the Jews are about to strip Jesus from his garments that the Roman soldiers will divide. It is an atmosphere of total desolation. The day after Holy Thursday will introduce us to the tragic grandeur of Good Friday. The black liturgical vestment the cross veiled in black will tell us the grief of the church. All the Psalms and unusual rites of Good Friday teach the sacredness of that day, so tragic that the holy sacrifice of the Mass is suspended. At the very beginning of the liturgy, the priest and his ministers will prostrate on the ground. It is a sign of devastation and annihilation. The prophetic pages of the Old Testament and the Passion, according to St. John, will be sung, and the choice of the liturgy for St. John is an invitation for all of us to stay at the foot of the cross, because as you can see here, St. John didn't leave. He came back and he stayed with our Blessed Mother at the foot of the cross. It is why on Good Friday, this Passion of St. John has such a profound echo in our souls. St. Paul tells us that Jesus nailed on the cross offered up to his eternal Father prayers and supplication for all mankind with cry and tears. The liturgy of Good Friday does the same. Even the Jews will be included into her supplication. Filled with holy indignation, the sacred rites invite us to an act of solemn reparation in venerating the cross, instrument of the world's salvation. It is an act of humility. The priest will take off his chasuble, that is the main vestment of the priesthood, and the priest will elevate the cross three times. He will unveil progressively, gradually, the cross, and he will sing triumphantly three times that the cross brings salvation to the world. This rite is intended as a reparation to our Savior for the ignominious treatment he received. The gradual unveiling of the cross leads us to discover again how the cross is precious and to understand better the power and the wisdom of God. We will kiss the cross because we repent when we think about the favors the Lord has given to humankind and the cruelty he received in return. The liturgy of Good Friday is called Mass of the Presanctified because on that day of the great sacrifice on Mount Calvary, the immolation of the divine victim cannot be offered on the altar. And we will use the host consecrated the day before, the deacon processing from the altar of the repose, with only this precious consecrated host, and processing and bringing this host back to the main altar, this deacon will represent Joseph of Arimathea and his friend Nicodemus, depositing the body of our Lord in the sepulchre. The priest will elevate the consecrated host only with one hand. Usually the priest elevates the consecrated host like that. He will do that with only one hand to signify that the Lord from his cross elevates the world, and that we have to look at this cross that is the sign of our salvation. Only the priest will have Holy Communion. We receive Holy Communion on Good Friday to signify that the Lord has disappeared from earth, totally disappeared. And the others, altar boys and faithful will be deprived from communion on Good Friday, imitating our Blessed Mother Mary and the apostles, sadly deprived from Jesus Christ. On Holy Saturday, the blessing of the incense in the Easter Vigil represent the perfumes prepared by the holy women for embalming the body of Jesus. 5 pieces of incense, like the 5 wounds of the Lord. The fire will be the symbol of our Lord Jesus Christ. The 3 branched candles used to kindle the Paschal candle symbolizes the Blessed Trinity. The Easter candle is the figure of the Lord lying lifeless in the grave. When lit, we will see in it the glory of the risen Christ. The 12 readings of the Easter Vigil, called prophecies, narrate how Jesus fulfills the promises of the Old Testament and teach us how the world was longing for his triumph. The blessing of the baptismal water in the back of the church here. This blessing of the baptismal water comes from the early church, from the time of the apostles. And there is a very rich image of the thirsty stag. The deer is well known in Wisconsin. The thirsty stag is a figure of those who long for baptism, of those who long for eternal life. The words of the blessing of the water for baptism are filled with the holy enthusiasm of the church. Those who are baptized are the fish of Christ. The litanies of the saints will be sung with joy and emotion. For the Gloria, the bells will ring again in a transport of joy. Jesus has risen from the tomb, but he has not shown himself to everyone. It is why the acolytes with their candlesticks will not accompany the procession of the gospel, because this resurrection is still hidden. It's revealed gradually. In the Easter Vigil Mass, the creed will be omitted. That's strange for Easter, no creed, really? Yes, the creed will be omitted because the apostles, who later will be in charge of teaching the creed, these apostles are still hiding out of fear. The offertory of the Mass will be skipped because this very long liturgy understands well that the souls are hungry, they are starving, especially those who are newly baptized. They are starving from receiving Holy Communion after a too long deprivation, especially those who are very young in the life of faith. It's well, you know well that your children always need food. So the church, being a good mother, accelerates the liturgy to feed them. The Agnus Dei will be also omitted in the Easter Vigil Mass. Why no Agnus Dei? Because it is only in the evening of Easter, the day after, on Easter Sunday, at the end of the day, that the Lord Jesus risen will say for the first time to his disciples, "Peace be with you." So the church doesn't say that before him. Jesus' passion is a victory. Jesus is the innocent Lamb of God, sacrificed to God for the sins of the people. He accepts to be the victim, but he is also the aggressor and the priest. The value of his passion is our salvation. It is less about suffering than about the divine love Jesus puts in this suffering that burns away original sin and all our individual sins. Jesus is the innocent lamb, immolated, but we see also that on the other hand, he masters everything and he triumphs over everything. He is a king, but when the enthusiastic crowd wants to make him king, he vanishes. And in his passion, the only crown of king he accepts to have on his head is the crown of thorns. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.